Teenagers often experiment as part of growing up, trying new activities or exploring new friendships. Experimenting with drugs, though, can come at a very high price. Addictionologist Dr. Jay Pyland says the difference between experimenting and full-fledged abuse is only a very small one, since many substances take only one use to create an addiction. On this week's Time to Talk, Dr. Pyland asks us to expand the range of substances that we think about that teenagers can abuse beyond common so-called street drugs.
There's prescription pain medications, opioids, as well as Mojo, synthetic cannabis, Kratom, or some of the newer substances which are technically not illegal in many states, but certainly are impactful on the adolescent population.
When you think of substance abuse specifically with adolescents, how is abuse different for them than it is for adults?
Certainly, adolescence is a period of experimentation. For instance, use within the past year for high school seniors is estimated about 75 to 80% have used cannabis, and that doesn't indicate that they have an actual use disorder, but actually casual use is where it starts and then becomes misuse and then progresses to an actual substance use disorder.
So what's the progression like from casual use to an addiction disorder?
For those that are genetically prone, there's certainly an interaction with earlier factors like adverse childhood experiences as early as birth to 3 years old. Our genetic code doesn't get changed, but the expression of that genetic code is changed by the use of other substances, other adverse consequences which have occurred in our lives that might activate particular genes.
As a parent or someone who works with teenagers, I volunteer at my church, for example. What are some things that we should be watching out for? What are some of the early warning signs a student may have a problem?
Well, changes in behavior, changes in academic performance, changes in interest in extracurricular activities such as a band or sports, just change in interest in general. And oftentimes, adolescents which are experimenting and or who have a substance use disorder tend to socially identify with other individuals, tend to run in the same pack. So if a group of friends have changed, then it's common to see the adolescent change their patterns of how they behave. And
so the difference between one or two friends who they used to hang out with more, but really like
a whole shift of
friendships.
Exactly.
So what would be the one thing for parents to either to be aware of or just really to be having that kind of a dialogue with their student? What kinds of things should parents be talking with their kids about in terms of substance abuse disorders?
I think certainly in the past we've attempted to educate the adolescent population with regard to the risks involved with regard to substance use. And certainly the parents could gain information from certain websites such as National Institute of Drug Abuse, NIDA, as well as SAMHSA, which is the Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Organization, and gain more information in that manner in an attempt to educate their adolescent with regard to the risk involved with the use.
Dr. Jay Pyland is an addictionologist with Pecan Haven Adolescent Addiction and Treatment Center. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Time to Talk is produced with the Children's Coalition for Northeast Louisiana and Bayou Life magazine. Find out more at KEDM.org.